This morning we'll continue. We've been in 1 John before Christmas, and it's been several weeks now. But if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, we're gonna start back up there and continue through our study in 1 John. And we've seen in 1 John, continually John is writing to encourage a group of Christians about how they can, what their lives ought to look like since they know Christ, how their lives are transformed, and how they can live as Christians responding to the gospel message that Jesus died for their sins. And we've seen several different things so far. We've seen in chapter 1, 5 through 10, that Jesus forgives sins. And because he's forgiven our sins, he saved us, we can be constantly confessing to him and experiencing forgiveness. We've seen in chapter 2, the first two verses of chapter 2, it says that we can stop sinning because the blood of Jesus has paid for our sins. Jesus has fully paid for our sins, and we can cease from sinning. We can have victory over sin. And then in chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, we've seen how true saving faith produces obedience to God's commands. Right? We don't earn our favor with God through our actions, but because God has saved us, we want to obey his commands, and we live for him. And so we've seen that so far. And then last time we were in 1 John 2, we looked at verses 7 through 8, where John says what he's saying is nothing new. This isn't a new commandment or a new teaching. He is just, again, telling the story of all the scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's the same story, that we should obey God out of love. And then this morning, we're going to look in 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11. And we're going to see John is known as the apostle of love. And you see in the Gospel of John and throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that John really loved Jesus deeply. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and he also witnessed Jesus' love firsthand. And he writes a lot about the love of Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to see in 1 John 2, 9 through 11, that the Gospel of Jesus in our lives reveals itself in love for others. Right? John is going to begin teaching again and again and again. This comes up in every chapter about how God's love for us ought to reflect itself in love for others. John talks about this continually. He's going to talk about how walking in the light of Christ reveals itself in a love for others. And or as the old hymn says, that they will know we are Christians by our love. Right? Many of us have sung that. That's what John is saying here. We know that we're saved. We know that we walk in the truth because of the way we love. And so let's look here. Let me read for us 1 John 2, 9 through 11 this morning. It says, verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so we come to these three verses, and they're short verses, but there's much clear truth that John is talking about here. He starts off in verse 9 saying that we should love others, not hate them, that our lives, that our relationship to others should reveal itself in love. And he makes the statement that if we're walking in the light, we will not hate our brother. If we're hating, we're walking in darkness. John continually uses light and dark imagery. Here in 1 John he uses it, and in the Gospel of John he used it again and again. Light was referring to walking in holiness, in goodness, walking and living the way that Jesus calls us to. Darkness was a way to refer to living in sin. And Jesus, see, in John 8:12, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so Jesus spoke this way. Darkness was following after sin, after emptiness, after the ways of this world. But following Jesus, living for Jesus, meant living in the light. Living in the light. Jesus is the light. He is the source of all that is good, the light of righteousness, of holiness. And again, in John 9:5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so living for Jesus is following that light that Jesus has shown out in his life. As well as, if we're in 1 John here, John's used this imagery here in 1 John. In chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So walking and living for God is living in light. Walking according to the world is darkness. And John is saying those who follow Jesus, those who love Jesus, they should walk in the light. They should endeavor to be in the light. They will be people of the light who love the light. And so when we come to verse 9 this morning, when it says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness, John is running out that same thread of thinking. Light is what we should want to do. The Christian should want to live in light, not in the darkness of hating his brother. And as I mentioned earlier, this idea of love for people, this is something that plays itself out throughout 1 John. We'll go through passage after passage as we go through here talking about that. But I just want to draw our attention to one, to 1 John 4:20. It really explains what John is saying in 1 John 2 very clearly. If you look at 1 John 4:20, he's saying the same thing in a little different way. 1 John 4:20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother who he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So John is very clear here in 1 John 4:20 and 21. This love that we have for God. God is someone who we see what he has done. We see creation and his work. But we can't clearly see God. Right? We trust him, we love him, and we follow him by faith. And so this faith in God, this love for a God that we cannot see, should produce in us a love for people that we can see. Right? It should flow from us. If we have this love, this great love by faith in a God that is invisible, that we trust in by faith, that should produce in us a love for people around us. For specifically, he talks about here, for his brother, or the brothers. And again, so this is very clear. We have this commandment from God that we should love our brothers. It's a love that produces, this love from God produces a love for other people. And so it leads to the natural question. What is he talking about here? His brother. Are we talking about family ties here? People that we're related to? Is this the family of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, or is there more going on here? And I would just say, in way of answering that question, what does he mean by brother? He who hates his brother is in darkness, so that we should love the brothers. John is specifically writing to Christians here, and so he's talking about loving not just people that you're related to. Surely we should love our families. But he's talking about other Christians. We should love the brothers in Christ. Those who know Jesus and who love Jesus, we should love them. And so that's specifically what he's talking about. That when people come in and they identify with Christ and they join the congregation and want to follow after Christ, there's a special bond, a special love amongst Christians. And as I mentioned earlier, that song that they'll know we are Christians by our love, that's something that should be very visible. A love that they see a special way in the congregation amongst those who know Jesus, right? There's a special friendship, a special kinship, a special bond with those who love Jesus. We have a special focus. The gospel binds us together in a way that we may not have this common ground with people who are our biological family, right? Many of us do have family, friends, close people that we know close that don't love Christ. But believers, we all know Christ, and so we have something in common. So we should love each other. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, he even took this a step further. And so I just want us to realize, when we're talking about love here, John is specifically talking about loving those of the body of Christ. But Jesus talked about an even greater kind of love. that extends even out into the community and out beyond the church walls or the church body. In Luke 6:32, Jesus talked about love. And he said, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. In these verses in Luke, Jesus is very clear. This love, this kind of supernatural love that comes from God, this extends beyond even the brotherhood, the people of the church who we know and love and who are kind. This extends even to those who may hate us or be unkind to us or who are unloving to us. We should have a supernatural kind of love even to those kind of people, even to people who may oppose us or who we don't get along well with. Love even our enemies. And that kind of love, that is a powerful kind of love. That's an amazing kind of love that will speak volumes to people. And again, so the question is, that's a hard saying, a difficult saying of Jesus, loving our enemies. What's our motivation for this? Why should we love our enemies? That's something that just goes against the very grain of human nature. In no culture will you find it natural that people should love their enemies. I bet that goes against how we feel. But we do this because this is what Jesus did. In 1 John 4:10 it says, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so this supernatural kind of love that loves our enemies is the same love. We do this because Jesus did. Jesus loved, that's what 1 John 4:10 says, it's not that we loved him, that we initiated the relationship with him. He sent Jesus. He first sent Jesus. He loved us in our sin as we were enemies running from him. And so Jesus is our example. We love because Jesus first loved us. That's why we love our enemies. We ought to love all people. And so, the natural question then, I think, again, there's another question that arises here. So what do I mean by love? Right? Is this kumbaya, peace on earth, we all stand around and get along well with everyone? Right? Because inevitably, we know there are people in our lives that are difficult to love. We're not going to get along with everyone. Not everyone can be our best friend. Right, but love, I want to define love, I think the way the Bible defines it, is wanting the very best for someone. Wanting the very best for someone else. And so in wanting the very best for someone else, as Christians, that means we love people by desiring that everyone comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's what Christian love is. This love that serves and is kind to people and wants them to come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our love for people reveals itself in a desire for people to turn to Jesus. That's what John is talking about. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's why we love our enemies and we show this kind of this grace and kindness to others so that they might come to know the saving grace of Jesus, the one who loves sinners and loves those who are ruthless. And so that's what love means. That's why when we talk about loving the brothers, we want them to love Jesus and to know Jesus more. We talk about loving people in our community or those who might not know Jesus. That love is a love that wants to point them to Christ. It wants them to know Jesus more. And that's what John is talking about. So that's why he says in 1 John 2:9 that we should walk in the light and not hate in the darkness. And he continues in verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So we're loving, we're living in the light of God, and when we do that, a love for others doesn't place a stumbling block of sin in front of them. Right? Our love for others keeps us from sinning toward them and creating something sinful that they might stumble upon. And Proverbs talks about this. It talks about this analogy, right? We know in the darkness, if I get up in the middle of the night to go get something or hear a noise, there's a good chance you might trip over something if the pathway is not clear. We can't see. You might stumble around, right? We stumble around in the darkness. In the light, we can see clearly to move. And Proverbs 4:18-19 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." All right, so walking in righteousness, walking in the light, living for Jesus causes us to be able to see clearly and not place stumbling blocks in front of people and walk correctly. But sin is like someone stumbling through the night, tripping over whatever may be on the ground. And we don't want to do that toward other people. We want to show them love. And that's why it says in verse 10, if you are loving someone, if you are desiring what's best for them, you're not going to place obstacles in the way that keep them from having a relationship, from knowing you. You're not going to place sinful things in their way. So if we love people, we see how to avoid sinning against them, one pastor said. And that's exactly right, right? True love for people would keep us from sinning against them, from saying unkind things from them. It would allow us to let something go when they say unkind things toward us. True love doesn't harbor bitterness. True love wants what's best for others. And we seek to love others. That's something we should do, not place a stumbling block. And I want us to remember as well, when we talk about loving others, sometimes this love is a tricky thing, right? We might try to love other people. They may not love us in return. But that's why Romans 12:18, it says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And I love how that verse talks about, if possible, as far as it depends on you, it places the burden on me and you, on the individual. We should love. Other people may not return that love. They may not be kind toward us, but we should endeavor to continue to be kind and love others as much as it depends on us. This peace, and again, we can't make people love us or be kind. It may be bumpy, but on our end, we should endeavor to love. We should endeavor not to put a stumbling block of sin before other people. And in verse 11, he continues, "Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And that what that verse is saying is that harboring bitterness and hate and unkindness and ill will toward other people, even as Christians, it can cause us to be so blind that we're no good. Right, we don't want to hold on to unkindness and unlovingness and wrong thinking and harbor resentment toward others, because eventually that will build up and it will cause us to almost to be blind, as if we can't see the light of the gospel anymore. And so John is writing to his believers. First of all, if someone is continually, their heart is not changed and there's no love, they are blind. That's the line that John is drawing here. Those who know Christ and love Christ should have a love for others. But he's also encouraging them, don't hold on to those ill will. Don't hold on to those bitter feelings, because it will make you ineffective. And we all know how this works, right? If we're holding on, if we haven't forgiven, if we're not seeking to love someone and we're remembering the bad thing they said to us last week, we don't really want to run into that person at the grocery store or at church. Right? It keeps a barrier up. But John is saying, don't do that. Don't harbor that. Don't let your eyes be blinded by this unkindness. Love other people. Don't choose to remain bitter and hate. Don't have this empty darkness before your eyes. Clearly love in the light of the gospel of Jesus. And so this morning, as we see in these verses, we see this truth this morning, that it's not just the absence of sin which characterizes a true Christian, it is also the positive presence of love, right? That's what people will see in us, not just that we don't sin, that we live holy lives, that we don't do something, but that proactively we love, we do love. Christians should be known as the most loving, kind people on the planet because of the great love which we have received in Jesus, a love that has come and covered our sins and made us be part of his family. And so the challenge for us this morning is, are we seeking to show the love of Jesus to all? Right? Are we loving our family? Are we loving fellow Christians? That's what John is writing about. Love the brothers. Love them in a special way. Are you loving those who are difficult to love? And importantly, we must be continually reminding ourselves of our motivation to love, who is Jesus, right? This love is supernatural and special, and we love because Jesus loved us at the cross. And so in order to do this, in order to live like this, we must continually be holding up the cross of Christ before our hearts and our minds. And so are we doing that? Are we reminding ourselves of Jesus' love continually? Because we love because he first loved us. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord God, I thank you so much for the great love that you did show to us through Jesus Christ. That Jesus came and loved those who were unloving, who were unkind, the Bible lists off many sins in which people have committed, Lord, those who were angry and idolaters and sexually immoral and impure and unkind and all those things. And you came and loved people who were that way and transformed many into the image of your Son. Thank you. Thank you for the great love of Jesus who died while we were in our sins so that we might live for him. So I pray that our hearts would continually be moved to love in a supernatural kind of way, to love Christians, to love our family members, to love people in our community with the love that wants them to know Christ. We would love even our enemies and those who are hard to love because Jesus is our example. So Lord, help us, encourage us, strengthen us, and may you just hold the gospel up in front of our eyes continually. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.